You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 8, Episode 7 coming your way this week. Slightly later than usual. It has been a mental few days, football and personal-wise, but we are here for this week's podcast, and the League of Ireland Premier Division returning with a bang after the international break. We've got the Dublin Derby on Friday night, Rovers against Bowes. Looks like it's going to be completely sold out. Record-breaking attendance for a game in Tala. That's going to be fantastic. And of course, a new Bowes manager in Anil Reynolds, so we'll talk all about that. But as I said, Gaz, it's been a mental few days football and personal-wise. Obviously, Friday we were both in at Lohan for one of the craziest Midland derbies ever. We'll be talking about that later. Saturday, yourself and Fitzy, good friend of the show, very good to come up to Dundalk and surprise me for my 30th birthday. We got the mention in the match programme in the Aviva on Saturday as well, which was great. And we also got a little message from a stateside listener of the podcast. Here's what he had to say about my birthday.
It's Kieran Burke's birthday today. Wow, I didn't know that. You're telling me now for the first time. Happy 30th birthday, Kieran. I've listened to your podcast, Between the Stripes, and I've got to say, it's one of the worst, if not the worst podcast I've ever heard. I say bring back John Breyer.
Yeah, great to hear from the big man, Gary. Not a big fan of the pod, it seems.
A big fan of the previous makeup, but I know Breyer is a good... He set myself up well, so
I was talking to John coming back from Bray. I didn't mention Bray then Monday as well, and then the Aviva last night too. So that's why we're a little bit later than usual this week. And first, there could be a few new listeners tuning in, given we got that lovely shout out in the Ireland match program from Conan Byrne today. So thanks to him. But usually, as our regular listeners would know, we'd have a guest or two joining us. But this week, it's just me and you because there's a lot to get through in terms of Ireland chat. As I said, a new man in a Bowes, the Premier Division back this weekend, and some mental First Division games to look back on as well. So just me and you this week, but our regular listeners, as they know, we usually have a big name. So if you're a new listener, you can expect big names joining us most weeks here on the show. But as I was saying, I was actually chatting to John coming back from Bray on Monday, and we were just talking about the pod getting the mention in the match program, and he still refers to BTS as we. He'll always be part of the team, and people just say to me, why does it always say in the intro and John Breyer? I'll never take him out. We hold out hope he'll come back one day.
Absolutely. I'm sure the fans would probably rather him than me as well,
particularly in Sligo, Daly Mount, Oriel.
Prove me wrong, clubs. Prove me wrong. But yeah, no. Good to get to mention, but and all of that. That's nice to see.
Yeah, look, enough waffling from us. We're brought to you this week, as ever, by the brilliant Anthony Quinn, quinnav.ie. Check out that website for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions this League of Ireland season. But yeah, I was in the Aviva last night. I wasn't there Saturday, but you were there Saturday, and then you headed down the road to see me for my birthday, which was great. But we'll start with a bit of Ireland chat. I don't know where do we start, on the pitch, off the pitch. There was a bit of a story about Jonathan Hillis, but we'll start with the football first. That's the most important
as
thing.
As always, yeah.
Saturday, I try and hold back from tweeting stuff before the show because I know people follow me on Twitter and don't want to hear the same stuff twice. But I have never heard as much shite in my life after a game as I did Saturday. I thought John O'Shea had reinvented the wheel. Obviously, I didn't see much of the game Saturday because I was out for dinner before the party, but I had a bit of it on the phone, and you came down the road, and I was like, what did I miss? And you're like, you missed one shot on target. And then I'm reading articles on the Sunday morning about, how he's trying to replicate the Bayer Leverkusen formation. And that, and the wing backs, as if he reinvented the wheel. So I was, mildly excited going up to the Aviva last night. I didn't see much difference to what I would have seen under Stephen Kenny, maybe more defensive, if anything. For me, he's not the man.
Well, the first idea I had, going to the game on Saturday was the first mistake I made. going off to Dundalk was the second mistake. But, messing aside, I think one of the bigger realizations I've come to is that I think we need a coach or a manager or leader or whatever that hasn't done a coaching course in the last 25 years. I know that's difficult to it's a hard realization to come to, but I thought, like, you know, we're looking at the squad. I'd be relatively an anorak at the game, and I didn't know very many of the players that were starting lining out for Belgium. And, you know, yeah, you give them respect. They're in the top 10 in the world or top whatever. And, you know, they're a good side, and I'm sure we'd be delighted to have their seconds team playing for us. But it seems like the idea of urgency has gone out of the game completely. Certainly at an Ireland level, or even like I had the misfortune of going to that Bowes Derry game the week before in Dalymount. And, you know, there was a bit of drama, you know, the diving and, you know, a few goals and mistakes. But Derry were so poor and there's no urgency. You know, even I didn't bother my arse going to the game last night. I did watch it on telly, and it's like, I think at one point we got a corner. It was a short corner, and within a couple of minutes, it was back at Bazunu.
Yeah, there was a lot of that last night. A lot of that.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is. It goes into something that we've been kind of talking about for a while on the podcast, where we're saying statistics and, you know, philosophy is possession at all costs. Like I say, Xhaka took a shot from a poor clearance from Bazuna last night.
There was a lot of that too.
Yeah, but I think if an Irish player did that, you know, he would have been hooked there and then. I thought Schmadix was actually good on Saturday. For a player that I don't know much about, except he's scoring goals in the Championship week in, week out, which is great. But he was he seemed to be trying a lot of stuff. And I think you said to me on Saturday evening after the game that, you know, that'll be ground out of him soon enough playing for Ireland. I really don't know what it is. I don't think John O'Shea is in it. It could have been Stephen Kenny taking those games. I didn't see any difference whatsoever of note. I thought we played okay on Saturday, but it was just terribly boring.
Against a team that literally said before and after that they couldn't have cared less about that game on Saturday, Belgium. They didn't want to be there, essentially. So I think that needs to come into account.
Yeah, conned into coming at all. Mm. You know, I don't know what I'm looking for. Well, I do know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a bit of urgency, a sense of adventure about when you put on the green shirt. It seems to be like we are a unit of 11 people and we can only do things as a unit. It kind of goes back. I don't know who said it. I can't think of any player playing the game now that I would go to see. You know, aside from Messi and Ronaldo. There is no, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'd love to go and see this. Like, I would have really liked to have seen Van Nistelrooy back in the day, or Zidane. Mm. You know, the top players. I can't think of anybody that I'd be excited to go and see now. I've seen Ronaldo. I haven't seen Messi. I've seen Mbappe. I can't really think of anybody else that I'd like to see. But I don't think there's the players that would excite you. Yeah, and I think that's the kind of, apart from like players like that, I think that's kind of been coached out of them. Or
overcoached.
Overcoached into like, you know, recycling the ball all the time. We can't take a shot until we're a yard away from the goal, because the percentages mean that we won't, you know, we have a lesser chance of scoring. I don't know. I don't think John O'Shea is it. But also, I'm really struggling to pick any manager that in the world that would do anything for me, to be quite honest. I'm really struggling.
I was just saying to you off air there, like, we had a discussion a long time back on this show when it was probably clear that this wasn't going to work with Stephen Kenny, but we both felt that the blueprint was in place, that what he was trying to do in terms of trying to change the style of football, in terms of promoting players through the youth teams into the senior team, that was probably the way to go. But you look at it now, and is there an argument to be made, maybe a more pragmatic manager would get, like, he certainly would get more out of his players, but are you then taking, are you putting short-term benefits, like trying to qualify for the next tournament ahead of, you know?
Barry Masterson on Twitter was like, he can't remember the last time we, like, a team that we, he's a Town fan. I can't remember the last time Longford Town or Ireland won. When was the last time Ireland won a game? Gibraltar. When was that?
September.
Or November. No, it was later than that. It was November.
October. Yeah, October anyway.
Right, so that was the last time. The time before that was when Longford Town beat Galway on the 2nd of September.
Yeah.
Right, I know that's personal to me, you, and a few other Longford Town lads that go to Ireland games and care, like, really care about the national team. I'm sorry, I want to be challenging. Never scoring, getting, you know, oh, shucks against Swiss side last night. You know, that's not really, that's not doing it for me. And
but
the football, like, isn't good enough either, though.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to say, do we appoint, you know, pragmatic managers, we said, that will get the most out of this team? It's clearly not the best group of players we've ever had.
You have to define the most, though. What's the most?
Well, as you said, just be competitive and challenging. But are you going to then hinder maybe the pathway of players coming through? Like, is the senior team going to play in a totally different style to all the underage teams? And then if a player does come through, they're totally lost. That's the way it always was for decades. Like, whereas I think you can see what Kenny was trying to do, form this kind of green line. I think that phrase has been used where players, coaches were coming through. And if we're going to follow that, then maybe O'Shea is the next step because he's been part of that coaching staff. But my argument to that would be that he was on Kenny's coaching staff, and what he's seen in them two games was just too similar to what we got from Stephen Kenny. I don't think you're going to get any great change. So I think it's a very difficult... I know we've criticised the FAI and they deserve criticism for the handling of the recruitment process. It's been a complete shambles from start to where we are now. We haven't even reached the finish of it yet. But it's also a very difficult appointment, this one, because you don't really know what direction to go here.
Well... just a few points. Raise a few things. Like, let's say you mentioned the green line. I'm not sure. Like, how important is that? Like, this is more of a question.
Well, I think the reason we're in the position we're in now is because we took short term approaches for decades. You know, we went from Trapattoni to O'Neill to whoever else, and they were just all short-term managers, and there was no joined-up thinking in terms of the 17s, the 19s, the 21s, all playing different styles of football just to get results on the day, and it wasn't having, you know, a great. It wasn't benefiting the greater good of the national picture. Like, So that would be my argument on that. That I think this is why we're in the position we're in. I think the one positive of the Kenny Rehan was the amount of players that came through. I know you've said before that, like, these players had to come through because lads couldn't
pure shite. Pure shite. I never took that like that's not a feather in anybody's cap. I don't care what anybody says on the planet. I go back to the same thing. What's he going to do? Ask John O'Shea to play his 119 cap at 38 or whatever he is now. Glenn Whelan. Late 30s as well. That's just a stupid argument to be pro Kenny for the sake of being pro Kenny. What else was he going to do? Play a bunch of pensioners. Worst argument on the planet for Kenny fans. I think
I get the feeling you're looking for a shift to more pragmatic here, but then obviously the big handicap here is the fact that we can't pay a wage to attract them type of managers. So who would you like to see?
I was thinking more about like my piece or my bit about like don't want a manager that has done a coaching course in the last 25 years. You know, okay, that's probably not really possible. But I do want someone, in that case then, I want someone that has managed an international team nearly solely in the last 5 to 10 years. I don't want anybody. I want someone that can. People go. I think there's a different skill set, or it's obviously similar, but there's a slightly different skill set to managing a national side versus a club side.
Yeah,
obviously there is. But I think if someone has a particular idea or philosophy or how we're going to play based on the tools that we have and who we're playing, then we need to be able to dissect that information to them in a very, very short camp. We heard a lot last year about like, oh, we had an extended camp heading into the Greece game, and we did that hot weather stuff, and we that was one of the worst games. You know, I still have nightmares about that. None of that changed, and maybe Kenny wasn't able to get that information across in even an extended camp. So I think we need someone with that skill set, you know, very high up in the list. I don't think anybody that has been that has even seen the FEI in the last 5 years should be in and around the setup now. I think a brand new team, brand new setup. It's John Shea isn't for me. But also from a fan perspective, which is what I am first and foremost, I'd rather get four passes across 90 minutes and win a game. I'm sorry, like I can't go to so many games and not win any of them. And the only winning that we're doing is against bloody Gibraltar. Like, it is tragic. Like, last night, Georgia... Was it last night? Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Georgia qualified Bet Greece in the qualifiers, which is great for them and, you know, fair play to them. But we none of us can see any qualification for anything on the horizon in the next bit, up to praying that we somehow qualify for the competition that's... A few games have been played on this island. You know, so I think something has to be done as regards a different mindset. Kenny Mark too, except we have to pay him more money because he managed somewhere else before, isn't going to suffice at all. I don't know who that is, as I've said before. People ask me all the time, who's the next manager? I say, like, I don't have a clue. But it can't be someone in the same vein. I need an old lad. I need a lad with white hair. In his 60s, Mick McCarthy. I'm not saying go back down that road, but like someone that he played with. I don't know what that is, but like I'm just so bloody jaded with the Irish team in the last 12 months. It's not even funny. And I went to 4 out of 5 aways last year, and all the home games and the friendlies and whatever else was going on. Even went to that bloody game in New Zealand game.
Yeah,
a bigger idiot you will not find. I know people think that already, but like, geez, this is just tragic. Okay.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Look, I think our listeners are getting jaded at this stage, so we'll move on. We'll spend very little time on this because we've gone extensive on Ireland, which we wouldn't normally do on the pod. But just FAI, obviously, there was reports that Jonathan Hill might be under pressure. I think we've been saying for a long time now, why isn't he under pressure? But it's been another disastrous international window. The release of the jersey, which is extortionate. The ticketing shambles. Like, there should have been single tickets on sale last night. It's Easter week, kids are off school, that place should have been full last night. €20 tickets, you sell out the Aviva. It's just own goal after own goal after own goal from the FAI.
I wouldn't just necessarily say sell it for a €20 ticket to fill it out.
Whatever the price, and there should have been single tickets on sale last night.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sell the double header from Saturday onwards, but once there's empty seats, you could not walk up to the Aviva last night and buy a ticket, and there's 20,000 empty seats. That is insanity for an association that is crying out for money.
Yeah. No, and I don't dispute that. There was only 38,000 there on Saturday or something like that. It wasn't a great crowd. And a lot of people would have reservations about that, or lads with season tickets being included that actually aren't going to games. You know, was my ticket that wasn't used last night not going? Or count it. I think the big piece about Hill, I think obviously quite critical of Hill. I don't rate him. I think even like the Sky deal is kind of similar to what I feel about the SSE electricity deal with the league. It's kind of like, you know, FAI cap in hand. Please, dear, just please give us something so we can say that we have a sponsor. And, you know, unfortunately, the best Jonathan Hill could do is get someone that was already sponsoring the
And look, I know what you're saying there. Yeah, I can see that point of view. All right, I'm just going to say he didn't do a press conference, so we there was no chance for the media to ask questions. He's been hiding away since the PAC.
Well, he wasn't hiding away. He was on the back of the press conference for that announcement. Like, it's insanity to think that an under pressure CEO that was in front of PAC last month finally has what should be just or thought of as a win in FEI terms and a personal win for his tenure as the CEO of the FEI, and he's not there front and center getting all the pictures and all of that.
Yeah,
that's insanity.
Yeah.
So probably we
should probably be grateful he was in the room at all and not in England. So
yeah, dialing in on Zoom or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the piece about, and this is something that we've often talked about, the fact he doesn't live here, he should have been gone a long, long time ago. And I would have got rid of him just for that, because at that point, or when that was all like brought up again, was around at the end of 2022, maybe, where we still had no sponsor, no sponsor on the horizon, and stuff wasn't going like Kenny wasn't doing very well either, and probably SIP2 were crying about some pay issue in the FEI and some other scandal was going on at the time. It's very hard to keep up with all the bullshit going on out in Abbottstown. But and then you had, I think it was Roy Barrett at the time, saying it's not a concern at all that he doesn't live here. There's a couple of issues just with Jonathan Hill. I think he shouldn't have been getting paid any commuting money or anything like that. That was an issue in the first place. But the minute he got paid more than the MOU allowed, that was the end of it.
Yeah.
That is the one job that the entire FEI had to be right on.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. They weren't capable of doing it. And that was the end of him. So that also raises the question, who do you bring in to replace him? I don't know. There's probably
a
golden retriever that could do a better job at the minute. So
I agree with you that, and we said it at the time, it should have never been acceptable or allowed that he was taking that job without moving here. That's so the decision makers and the people that appointed him, they should be gone too at the end of all of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's still too many hangers on at the FEI from the past. It needs a proper clean sweep.
It very much does, I think. But the desire to be doing that or getting that over the line, I don't think is there. I don't think there's a strong enough will for it. And I don't know when that's going to change, unfortunately. But like, you know, it goes back into like the culture issues that we were talking about, the general unhappiness. I think Mark Tighe had an article there last month about how FEI staff are still pissy.
And I can't genuinely recall, pissy.
I don't mean that you're wrong.
Yeah, but I can't recall when Mark was on this pod, but it's a couple of years ago now, and that's still going on, and it's actually probably worse than it was when he joined us. So, what's this man doing?
Well, like we'll say, they'll obviously point to like, oh, you know, we've done 95% of the recommendations from the government or whatever that group was, and that's fine, but they still don't have the main ones. You know, if you're using Oxford comma is one of the recommendations, you know, that's another tick box, but that actually doesn't get you anything. You know, there's no real material changes. Let's say there, for example, I think the FEI is the worst, or the FEI affiliated clubs are the worst for applying for government funding, for example. For, you know, whatever facilities and whatever you want. And so, like, I'll say, I would have one of those things, I'd be like, geez, wouldn't that be a great idea if we got a couple of lads in that would have experience in this? Maybe someone from the IRFU, someone from down the road in another organization in Abbottstown. I don't know who. Maybe get a couple of these boys in and we'll go out to all the League of Ireland clubs who have desperate facilities, and then we'll start there and bring it down. Where's that team, for example? I don't know, that's a very specific example, but it's just like we're very bad at applying for money, because unfortunately if anybody's seen a lot of those forms, they're not the handiest to be doing, especially when you have a team of volunteers.
Volunteers, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of little things going on, but I don't like the FAI. I don't think are helping themselves or helping the clubs or football in general sufficiently, and they're unfortunately too much of a sideshow for plenty of issues that are going on.
Yeah, they've taken up enough of our time on the podcast this week. Let's move on to talk about some actual football. First division.
Come back next week for more FAI shy talk.
First division from the weekend. There's only one place to start. As I said at the top of the show, one of the maddest Midland derbies you will ever see. Athlone Town 3, Longford Town 3. Longford Town 3-0 up at half time and absolutely capitulated in the second half. Athlone Town should have won it at the end. They hit the post late on. They missed another great chance. This was a humbling night for Longford.
Yeah, Longford Town filled the togs. I don't really know what to say. It's like they all just like got brain transplants at half time. I don't really know what happened. Athlone got a bit of a brain transplant of their own, and they were a different side in the second half. There is no doubt about it. They were bordering on incompetent in the first half.
One of the worst teams I've ever seen in the first half.
Yeah, like it was desperate though. Desperate doesn't even begin to
describe. At halftime I was talking to the lads around me about 6-7-0 scoreline.
Oh, you're a bigger idiot.
Mm.
I never really felt that, but like I thought even like when Wicks had opened the score, and good couple of days for him by the way.
Yeah. Well, could have been better.
Yeah.
Could have been better.
We'll get there. But I just thought, you know, we started off so well on the front foot, controlling the game, and really had them under a lot of pressure, and there was a lot of, you know, unsure play from Athlone. I think early on in the second half, Chris Lyons went down, I'm not sure if it was a penalty, but it definitely wasn't a dive either. It was like a 50-50 ball that he got to, you know, I don't think it was a dive. We were right in line with it. Do you think that was a penalty? Just to be,
Don't think it was a penalty. Probably agree with you. Maybe not a dive either. He just takes a bad.
It was just a coming together. Yeah.
If he scores that, it's game over. It's 4-0. But
one other piece. Because we do have to talk about the ref from Monday. I thought the ref was, and I don't think this contributed to the game particularly for. Sorry?
The collapse.
Yeah. I could say a lot of very incredibly poor decisions from the ref on Friday.
Yeah.
I think Chambo played a ball into Kyle O'Connor, who was running onto it, and kind of chipped it in over someone, and your man still got a hand and flicked it away.
Yeah.
Like that's a basic red yellow card, and no yellow card given. Do you know what I mean? The linesman out in front of us. We were also in line with this offside call that was not near offside. Very basic stuff. And like I'm talking about 3 or 4 yards onside. I'm not saying this was a tight call. So lots of little stuff like that would have obviously helped Longford. Like they've on one hand, they've had a difficult season, start of the season, so many games called off, and they have to ram some of them back in now. But also they've been the architects of their own shite.
Yeah.
2-0 up, lose 3-2 in the first game of the season. 2 mistakes kill them against Cork. And in the last 3 days, or last week, whatever.
Lose the lead in 3 more games, yeah.
Yeah, they've got 4 points.
I'll kind of cover it in a nutshell, this game. For me, it's just a total lack of game management second half from Longford. We've spoken on the pod about, we've probably been critical and talked about how it needs to be stopped. There's a certain goalkeeper in the Premier Division who likes to go down on the half-hour mark, and it allows his team to get over for a tactical meeting. That's exactly what Longford should have done when they conceded the first goal. Jack Brady should have gone down, everyone over to the bench, get a bit of water, just recoup. But instead, they just allowed an avalanche to come at them. It was just incredibly poor game management. Just on the ref, the inconsistency when it came to booking players. You mentioned one there where a lad just punches the ball away, doesn't get booked. I think Chambo fell into someone, got a yellow card, and three Longford players picked up soft yellow cards. And then those players, I think they were all in key kind of midfield areas, were reluctant to put tackles in. I thought them players maybe could have been taken off earlier. I know Longford are a bit light on bodies at the moment with injuries, but I think certain players not been able to play their full game in the second half because been on a caution. I think that affected Longford as well. But it all just comes back to game management, which was non-existent from Longford. Athlone, brilliant second half. Woeful first half.
Yeah, fair play to them for that.
Yeah, yeah, and I have to mention him. He was getting ferocious stick from the Longford Town fans, but Dean Ebbe, he was unplayable in the game. Every ball that went up to him, he won every header. He took his two goals really well. He should have won the game. He should have got a hat-trick. So it'd just be interesting to see where Athlone go from here, because that was such a Jekyll and Hyde performance. You'll only get away with that every so often. Another mental game, but this is a game where we expected a scoreline like this. I think we pretty much said this on the pod last week, that this would be a goal fest. Bray 3, Wexford 4. I watched this one back before we went up to Bray on Monday, and my good God, the defending is a holy show in this game from both teams.
Yeah, unfortunately Longford couldn't capitalise on Monday on it. Jesus, it's hard to summarize it.
We also called a spot on. We said Cole would get a goal, but he'd make a Hames a one. I think he gave away a penalty, didn't he? And nah, he was just very poor defensively throughout the game. I was gutted he didn't start the game against Longford the other day, to be honest. He just gave you so many chances at the back.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, and not a great, night at the office for him. But even like we'll say, just general, yeah, it's just rubbish enough. Like, and even excuse me, like the keeper isn't bailing. No, neither keeper is bailing anybody out.
No.
It's comical stuff. You know, some of the stuff that's going on. Like even like we'll say the own goal from, I can't remember who it was that brought it back to 2-2. And, you know, crazy first half, I think, but what, most of the goals were scored in the first half. It's just very hard to, if anybody, obviously I'm really struggling here to put a pin on this, but if you want to see horrendous defending in all its glory, this game has a lot of it.
I know it's very early in the season to be. I know it's very early in the season to be making statements like this, but the standard of the First Division this year is shocking.
It's poor.
We're going to get great games. I'm not telling people not to go. If you don't really care about the standard, you're going to get some fantastic games. But standard wise, if any of these teams went up into the Premier Division, it would be an absolute bloodbath every week.
Oh, bloodbath! Yeah, no, it'd be insane. Like it's just incredibly poor. Like there's a lot of goals being scored. I wonder if there's a higher average per game or anything like that this season. But like the defending is,
it probably levels out because Galway would have been given a few spankings last year, wouldn't they?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
but in terms of entertaining games, we're probably getting a lot more of them, but.
Yeah, but a lot of it is like brain damaging as well, where you're seeing like even like Cole there, like for the penalty, he is in a foot race and he does actually get there. He's on right side of Alua. All he has to do is just stand there. Don't do anything. Alua can't kick it through you. Just shuffle him out. No, sticks out the boot, and I know that's the end of that. Like. It's, you know, you just have to wonder what is the thought process here at all.
We'll move on to the next game. It's slightly worrying that maybe Kerry look one of the more solid teams defensively in the division this season. They went up to Donegal, made the long journey, and they came back with a point, a 0-0 draw. But that's two consecutive home games now for Harps where they've picked up disappointing results, beaten by Cove, and then they failed to beat Kerry.
Oh, great. Yeah, more of it, please. I think that was always going to be a difficult game for Harps because I think I expected Harps to win just because of how poor Kerry are, I would say, particularly at set pieces. And
keeper had a good game, it looks like things for Kerry.
Yeah, and God bless him. Who's that? Who's in there now? Because there wasn't the Naxworthy, was it Naxworthy that left?
Yeah, he's gone. You've put me on the spot. I'll come back to the Kerry keeper in a minute. I know his name. It's top of my tongue.
So yeah, like great result for Kerry. The another point on the board keeps them off the bottom spot for the minute.
Yeah, who's there?
The one and only Town. But two games in hand, so we'll give them some rope.
Yes, Tutt had the goalkeeper.
Oh yes, the new
way. Yeah. Right, where are we going next? We're going down to, well, I was going to say St. Coleman's. They're not just back on home soil yet, but Cove. This was, someone described it as a Manchester United Munich Champions League final turnaround from UCD. Two goals in injury time to win it 2-1.
Took the words out of my mouth. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw that result was Man United and Munich in 99 or whatever that game was. I don't know. I was kind of thinking Cove, like we're well up for this, considering that UCD were in a bit of a funk. Really good finish to open it up. Kind of ball just like popped up for whoever it was that scored. I can't remember. And then what? That 5 minutes of the game, they decide to just stop defending. I think it's a good example of. It's nearly like bystander syndrome or something like that for the UCD's equaliser. Just everybody stands around and there's like one lad in the middle of six Cove lads and no one really does anything and he just buries it. Very, very poor defending, but, you know, in the last, you know, in 90 minutes. And then the winner for UCD in what, 90 plus four? Keeper. I'd say he won't be over for a while, but like, lets it through his legs. You know, just poor. But also, the defendant even get there is extremely poor as well. No one, nearly almost a free header, heads it down to a lad in the 6 yard box, and he gets to take a touch and hammer it in, but through the keeper's legs. Like, what's going on with the defendant? It's just shocking. Like,
yeah, and we'll move on to the next game because I want to link this all in here. It was Treaty nil. Cork City nil. I said on the podcast last week that Cork are going to win this league and probably win it quite easily because they're the only team that seem to be able to manage a game. By all reports, they weren't fantastic in this game in Marcus Field. But I think I said it to you the other night in Athlone when we were looking at the results coming through. I was like, that's not a great result for Cork. But the one thing, they're not going to lose many games in the league this season. They just know how to manage a game. They know how to defend. That's... was that their clean fifth sheets. Or sixth game? But clean sheets in all but one game, and that was a goal that they gifted on a plate to Finn Harps up in Ballybuffet. So you'll allow them that. But clean sheets is going to win them the league. And if there's no one else in this league that can get their act together defensively, then it will be a lot easier than maybe we think for Cork.
Yeah, completely. I think obviously my Longford Town bias is going to come true here. I don't think Longford. If they hadn't missed out on those two games, I don't think they would have lost to Cork.
Oh no! Like as we said, no, they haven't wowed anyone yet. They're just ticking along, but it's just because they're organised and you know they're not making the stupid mistakes that other teams are making.
Yeah, that's very true. I think it shows like their game management, all of those qualities that we don't see very often in the first division, being professional. As what you described that Cork
they are the only professionals in the league this season. Well, true, out and out. I know there's kind of hybrid models at other clubs or whatever, but they're full time pros, and it's kind of showing at this level really this season.
It is, yeah. No, and even like bringing in the like a Baldur and stuff like that is very helpful. Even though I didn't think he had a very good game against us, but I think it's going to be a lot of the, maybe not brute forcing it, but like almost brute forcing it. Like they're just going to just not die and not concede enough goals to lose enough games that people can challenge.
One goal conceded all season. We should mention Treaty are still unbeaten themselves. Really good start, but I just feel that they're overachieving. I think you look at
very much.
I think they've picked up more points than maybe performances you'd think they'd have on the board, but. Look, long may it continue because we want someone to go with Cork this season. Then the game on Monday, Bray won, Longford won. I'd call this a bit of a freak game, really, because first 5 or 10 minutes, Bray started well. Longford were appalling, and I thought, oh, God, we're in for a pumping here. But then Longford got the lead and should have been 3 or 4 up at halftime. They missed some great chances. Second half was much more even. Both teams missed some sitters, but Longford missed the chance of the game. Wickstead's in 1-on-1. for whatever reason, after running the whole length of the pitch, he decides to try and square it to the doubly marked Bastian Heary, and it gets intercepted when he could have just put him in the net himself, Wickstead. And you always felt that might come back to bite Longford. We didn't think, though, it'd be the, 110th minute or whatever it was, in that incident where Wickstead missed the chance. The poor old Bray goalkeeper, Jimmy Corcoran, he seemed to just fall awkwardly. Not sure if he popped his shoulder or his collarbone, but you clearly see it was a serious injury. Anyway, he was down for well over 10 minutes. Then there was a melee where referee hadn't a clue what went on, incorrectly sent a Longford Town player off, sent a Bray player off as well. That all added, there was a two dugouts then were getting involved with one another. So it just took a lot of messing around, a lot of out of time. And Longford, obviously, with the lack of games they've had recently, they were literally out on their feet. Someone throws themselves at a shot at the edge of the box and it deflects over Jack Brady and into the back of the net. So I was fuming leaving Athlone on Friday. I couldn't be angry leaving Bray on Monday, because this was, you actually said it at one stage, you were like, this is almost like a cup final the way this game has gone. The amount of out of time, lads literally out on the pitch that were empty. They were totally empty, struggling with cramp, couldn't bash in here. He couldn't walk at the end. It was just a mad, and conditions were terrible as well. So very heavy pitch, and it just wasn't ideal for Longford, having played so little football. It just a freak game of football, really.
Yeah, I can't really say much different than that. I think that's a good summation of it. You know, you look at a lot of, I think Longford Town played quite well after the initial, holy shit, Bray are on all over us. But they didn't really create too many clear-cut chances. I think, unfortunately, Wickstead, although he scored and assisted in the last two games, he should have had another goal on Monday. Probably had too far to run and too many decisions to make. I think if he was got that, you know, intercepted that ball further up the pitch, he mightn't have had as much time and could have just been like, right, I just have to hammer this in. Particularly where, like we'll say, if Longford were looking at the highlights on Friday, keeper not fantastic. So, you have a good shot, get it on target, hit it with enough pace, it'll probably go in. I think the bit about like the out on their feet piece probably also explains the deflection.
Yeah,
if out on their feet. 90 or 108 minute or 10 or 5th minute, whatever it was, you might have got that extra foot that needed to make a more complete block. And look, that happens. Good enough performance around the town, created plenty of chances. Hopefully they'll start putting a few more of them away.
What did you think of Bray?
Poor.
Yeah,
very poor. I think Longford got very tired and kind of stood off them a bit too much, which kind of gave Bray a bit more confidence. But I think if Longford were a bit cuter, they would have maybe converted some more of those chances and it would have been a good win for Longford Town. I didn't think Bray had enough in them to get more than one goal.
But they didn't. You can see they're trying to play a style of football, Bray, but I think I said to you a few times during the game, they're just bluffing themselves here. It's almost like they're told when they go out, every pass has to be this big, artistic, sweeping pass. I said that to you. The midfielder gets it and he has to open up his entire body and make sure the pass sweeps out to the wing. Winger gets it. He has to sweep it back to the centre half. He'll give it back to the goalkeeper and it'll start again. It's a COD. Not to sound like Eamon Dunphy, but it's a COD.
It is a bit of a COD,
You can see why they're where they are on the table. Right, let's move on and talk about Premier Division football. That's back this weekend, as is the BTS Predictions League. Delighted to say David Doherty, the Derry fan, he joins us. He's going to take us on this week. Last week, we had Elon Musty playing, and he was the only man that picked up any sort of points, Gary, last week. He got the Cove UCD score. Oh, no, actually, I'm just looking at it. He actually went for a Cove win. Sorry, I thought, no, so he got nothing either. So between the three of us last week, nobody picked up a single point. So there Jesus. You go. So
at least no one's better off.
Yeah, league table is as it was. You're bottom on 18. I'm second on 24. The listeners are top of the table on 26. So, right, let's put in a better performance this week, Gary. We're going to go through the predictions now, but obviously the first game we're going to talk about is Rovers Bows, and we have to talk about the appointment of Alan Reynolds.
Yeah, as you think, you took the worst kept secret in Irish football there. Yeah, grand. But it's okay. It's not unexpected. He has a good job in his hands to kind of bring them out of the kind of rubbish play that they're doing. They had a good result just before the break, to be fair, and which was very nice for them. But I think he has a big job on. And look, you know, he could start off the right way with a win away to Talla. Unfortunately, I don't really see it. This game's on RT too, isn't it?
Yep. 0-0. I was just going to say, though, on the appointment, it would suggest that I know a lot of Bose fans haven't been, they've kind of raised questions about Pat Fenlon and his role in recruitment and all the rest. It would probably suggest that Pat Fenlon's there for a long term, because obviously these two have a working relationship together. So it seems that was kind of important in the search for, I know they obviously went for Stephen Kenny, and it would have been interesting to see what would have happened with Fenlon then, but it seems they've gone for a man that you know has worked with Pat Fenlon in the past. So
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, look, I think it's a fine appointment. Look, he's managed a few teams before. It's not beyond the, you know, he can be very successful. I think he'll, I don't know, would he be a better personality than Devine?
They're totally different. I don't know if they're totally different personalities. I'd say he's fiery enough, Reynolds. He definitely was as a player. So, but then we've seen players that were very mouthy on the pitch and very quiet as managers.
Oh, so it's
very hard to know. But yeah, it's
okay. How do you think he'll do?
I couldn't expect much from him this season because I just don't think he has a great bunch of players to work with there. I think it's going to put even more spotlight on recruitment, really, I suppose. There's kind of no excuses now. I actually think Devine was, I don't want to use the term stitched up, but it was clear he was never their man, really. He should have been shown the door in the summer and or in the winter and avoided all of this. I don't know why they wasted these first few weeks in the season. I think kind of Bose need to look at themselves in that regard. I don't think they gave enough support to the previous manager maybe going into this season. So I think Reynolds is inheriting a little bit of a mess there. And I think it'll take him a while to get things right. So I think this is a long-term project very much. On Shamrock Rovers, it obviously hasn't been an ideal start, but they got their win before the break against Galway. Are they going to get another win here?
I'm going to go 1-0 Rovers and Gaffney to score.
Okay, David is going for a 2-1 win to Rovers. Dublin Derby live on the telly, new manager bounce. It's got a 0-0 all over, hasn't it? Scrappy 0-0, red
maybe
card.
Maybe a missed penalty or some rubbish like that.
Red card in there somewhere.
Who's refing this game, do you know?
I'm sure of it. FAI Connect have that yet?
Let's have a look. Hold on now. I think this is important. Hold on.
Hear that, FAI, we're promoting your product.
It's not their product either, by the way, but anyway.
Rob Harvey's doing the game.
Ooh, okay, if it was another RH, I would have been saying something different. Okay.
Right, 0-0, I'll go there anyway. And Derry against Galway, these are the sort of games you kind of worry about with Derry, don't you?
I don't worry about Derry anymore. I don't really think about them at all.
David, the Derry fan, going 2-1 to his team here, of course.
Yeah, no, I'd be inclined to agree with that. I think they need to really cop on after that game.
Yeah, we got burnt before the break.
By Derry?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did get burned by Derry, but, you know, they're really throwing petrol all over themselves and then putting a match to themselves. Like, it's not anything that anybody else is doing to them. Like, they're just, you know, it's the same yarn, playing through the thirds and all the passes and all the half chances, and we, you know, look at the heat map and we're all, you know, we're all in their third all the time. We have most touches in the box. You still lose. Like, I know it was only their first loss of the season, but like a Bowes team that had just lost their manager, shocking start to the season, and you have a good record down there, you're heading into a break as well, you know, you really need to be coming out on the right side of you know, you need to be getting 3 points there. And they got nothing. They were poor on the night. They didn't show up. And, you know, if you want to win titles and you haven't won one in a very long time and you're up against the Terminator Shamrock Rovers, who are probably going to get it together come the end of this, you know, come the end of the season, you need to be putting the rubber on the road, and they're not doing it. I do think they will beat Galway. Actually,
have you talked yourself out of it?
No, I don't know.
I'll tell you my prediction here. They burnt me before the break, so it's going to take a while to get me back on side and go 0-0 in this one as well.
Yeah, okay, 1-1. You've convinced me. You pushed me over the edge.
Waterford against Sligo. This is a tricky one to call. Waterford gone a little bit cold after their good start. Sligo have been picking up good results, although I watched their previous game before the break against Drogheda, and I thought they were lucky to come away with a 3-1 win in particular. I'm probably going to play this down the middle, 1-1. Going for all the draws this week.
I think Waterford have enough here. Back at home, they're, you know, getting plenty of crowds and stuff like that. Party command.
Surely bound a goal against his former side here.
Yeah. 1-0 Waterford.
Okay. I go 1-1, as I said, and David also goes 1-1. Drogs against St. Pat's. Without even thinking about it, this just looks like a 1-1 game to me as well.
I think, like, Pats aren't exactly having a fantastic start to the season. They haven't won
1-0 in Minnesota as well.
Oh, how terrible. Yeah, 5 games gone and four losses, is it?
No, two wins, 4 losses, I think, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I said 6 games gone, 4 losses. And one of them wins is against a promoted side in the first game of the season, and the other one was Dundalk.
Yeah.
So, not exactly ideal.
Whereas Drogheda they've had a worse start points-wise than Pats, but performance-wise, bar the home game against Waterford where they were beaten 4-1 and were very poor in the night, they've played well in all their other games, haven't been taking their chances. I think they'll get something here. I'm going 1-1, as I said. Pats not clicking.
Yeah, they're really not clicking, and I don't think the sojourn out in Minnesota would have helped them either. I'll go 1-1 as well.
Okay, it's 1-1 across the board, so David goes that way as well. Shells against Dundalk.
In Talca,
a Dundalk side that were. Last time we were recording a podcast, they were in the middle of losing their Leinster Senior Cup tie against St. Mochta's, and not only did they lose, they were played off the park as well, despite the fact they had 7 first-teamers in their starting 11.
Was that only last week, was it?
Last Tuesday night, yeah. Because remember, there was a couple of the Irish players at it.
Oh, that's right. Poor
Robbie
guys.
Brady's brother was playing for Mochta's.
All right, okay. Shells have to win this, top against bottom. They're motoring along beautifully. You know, everything is just, what more can you say? As I kind of already alluded to,
chalk and cheese here, the two teams. One team,
chalk and dogs, lads. It's not even, you know, it's crazy.
One team incredibly well organized, one team that still hasn't found itself, team of strangers. Shells win this. They won't hammer them. It'll just be a typical Shelburne 1-0.
No, 2-0 Shells.
Okay, David going 1-0 as well. Right, that was lovely. Into the first division we go. Bray against Cove. Will this be another goal fest on the Carlisle?
I hope. No. I think someone has to start defending somewhere. and I think Cove are more capable of it than Bray. I think it's going to be a tight game, maybe a bit more similar to the Longford game on Monday rather than the Wexford game on Friday last. I'm going to go 1-0 to Cove.
Don't see that myself. Despite the fact I wasn't impressed by Bray, they probably have that bit more firepower than Cove. I'm going to go 2-1 to Bray here.
What? And
David is going the same. Longford against UCD. we mentioned obviously Longford were out on their feet come the end of that game on Monday. They have to go again. They're already down a number of players. I wouldn't be surprised if Monday's excerpts maybe cost them a player or two going into this one. Obviously, they're out Frank Campbell now through suspension as well. UCD have had that extra bit of rest. This is a tricky fixture for Longford. UCD have got back-to-back wins going into this as well, whereas Longford are still looking for that first win. And the longer Longford go without that win, the more the bigger the weight on their back.
Absolutely, yeah. Because like even with the games missing, like you're still without a win and you're still playing games, so mentally it's probably it is weighing a bit on.
And even mentally now as well, like the fact that
it's weighing mentally on me.
Well, the fact they've taken the lead in three of their four games and not won any of them. If Longford do score early here, you're going to be thinking, "Jeez, if we score too early."
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, I don't know what they'll have to do to stop them equalizing and scoring again. But like, that's up to the manager and the players themselves to rectify that. You know, they need to start closing out games properly. Like, you can't have like this can't go on in this vein for another game at all. Never mind too much longer. I'm gonna go 1-0 Town because I think I have to back my own team because I throw my hat at it if I don't. I'm still not convinced about UCD. Like I'll say, they were really helped in their win against Cove. And I think just at Lone were absolutely desperate up in the bowl the week before. And they also had a centre back sent off. So I don't think that's a proper reflection of how UCD are playing. And I think Longford will have. Hopefully we'll learn their lesson come Friday and win 1-0.
David goes 1-0 Longford as well. I'm afraid I'm gonna have to go 2-1 UCD here because I think Longford are missing a very key player, and the stats speak for themselves when Victor Sardeniuk doesn't play. He's like the Rodri of that team. The stats when Rodri plays for City or when he doesn't play, they're terrible.
Cork City.
But whenever Rodri plays for City, they barely ever lose. When he doesn't play, they lose or they don't win. And the stats are very similar for Victor Sardeniuk. And at the moment, I think Longford, obviously, they look vulnerable at the back. They're conceding a lot of goals and they need that protection in front of them. And he's not there. They don't have it. So,
just one thing, actually. I don't know if you noticed it, right? Just on Friday or Monday. And I noticed it a bit on Friday, but I really noticed it Monday. There was this idea in Longford Town, and this needs to be removed completely out of their brains. Pass it back to, let's say, the keeper, or pass it back to a centre back, let's say, particularly from midfield, and then the midfield, whoever passes it back to the lad, runs away. I've done my job. It's nothing to do with me. That, particularly in bad conditions on a pitch, I thought was actually okay, but it wasn't fantastic. It took a lot of rain. It was a bit heavy.
Yeah,
and it was kicking up a bit, particularly the second half. It's like, what are you doing? There's a couple of players subject to that, and they needed a good boot in the hole.
Yeah, I suppose like Victor's your number six. He's the player that you'd expect to be dropping in there and getting the ball off the keeper. So I just think he's a huge loss. And UCD do have a couple of tidy midfield players. So yeah, I'm afraid I have to go for a UCD win. That's just because I think Longford, the toll of this, like, they have to be one of the unluckiest teams so far this season in terms of, like, I said it to you the other night, it could only happen to Longford Town that the opposition goalkeeper could goose himself and it would come back to haunt Longford Town. And, like, you think of all the games that have been called off and now they're having to catch up on these games. Like, even me and you, like, we're going to be in bits come a week's time. At Lone Friday, we have to drive down to Longford then, or sorry, at Lone Friday, Bray Monday, which wasn't the worst trip to be fair. But then we have to drive down to Longford on Friday. Then we have to go to Cove on Easter Monday. And then we have to go to Kerry the following Friday. Like, Jesus Christ, come on, give us a break.
Cove, then Kerry?
Yeah.
Oh, shite.
Like, come on. So, I just think this is a very taxing period for Longford, and I'm afraid it might catch up with them, given their lack of match sharpness. Right, we'll move on. Cork against Athlone. Cork will be way too pro for these lads. 2-0 Cork.
Yeah, completely agree. I can't see anything else, really. Particularly down in Turner's Cross.
There's no way Cork could capitulate with a player like Greg Bulger in the middle. There's no way he'd allow that the way Longford did the other night.
Don't mind. I don't want to hear anything about Greg Bulger. He allows plenty of rubbish to happen around him. Don't, you know, just because he played and was good a long time ago, don't start that rubbish about him. Sorry. Craig Bulger allows stuff to happen. That fella allows plenty of shite to happen around him. He did it for 3 years up in Sligo. Cork 2 Athlone 0.
Do you know what? I just thought there. We were supposed to do. Sorry, this is I'm the man hosting this show, and I forgot to do it. But after the Longford Athlone Longford game,
I thought we were doing it after.
All right, we'll do it before the hotline. We'll do our first BTS kebab review before we go into the hotline, because I know our listeners have been looking forward to that. Yeah. We'll continue with the predictions. Kerry against Wexford.
Could this be the one for Kerry?
They might get something out of it. I don't think they win it.
I'm going to go 1-1. I think though, like traveling away to Harps, getting a point on the road, not conceding a bloody set piece, or the keeper was good. Yeah, I don't know, but I give them 1-1.
I go 1-0 Wexford, and that's what David goes as well. Treaty against Harps,
big one here, a big test here for Treaty.
Big test for both of them. I mean, Harps, as I said, back to back poor home results. They have to go down to Limerick now against an unbeaten side. Are Harps still unbeaten as well? No, sorry, beaten by Cove. But two teams that look like maybe been the main contenders to Cork City this season. This is a big game. Cork would obviously love to see these two draw while they beat Athlone and build a little bit of a gap. But how do you see this going?
I think Treaty will win it, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I don't know. I think like we'll say, there's a really good vibe around Treaty at the minute. They're packing out that place down there. There's lots of good vibes. They had the game called off against Longford there. What was it, a couple of Saturdays ago, whatever it was, and which isn't helpful to their cause, but. Yeah, I just think they just have enough in the tank. I think Harps early start of the season isn't real, or something that they can sustain.
Well, so, do you think Treaty? We both said earlier we think they've overachieved so far. Like, can Treaty?
I think they have overachieved, but I think they can stay in it a bit longer than Harps.
Okay,
and I don't think it's going to stop right now until they play Longford. So
give us a score.
2-1 Treaty.
Okay, I'm going 1-1, and I think Curran and Success both to score here in this one. The two former teammates. David going 1-1 as well. So look, that brings us to the end of the Predictions League. We'll go into the hotline in a minute and answer some of our listeners' questions. But as I said, first BTS kebab review of the season. We went, was it Kebab King or King Kebab?
King Kebab in Athlone. Well, if he goes down,
did, unfortunately.
The
and we did. We had a couple. We asked at the end of last week's show for Athlone fans to send in shouts. Someone said Apache pizza, but I couldn't imagine.
No,
that's not happening. But someone else did recommend here, and I googled it, and the reviews weren't fantastic. But I would have to say, after being there, more than pleased with. Well, I went for the kebab tray. I've started to transition away from the kebab toward the kebab tray.
Why is that now?
My tummy.
Right.
Lots of sauce.
Amateur hour here.
Lots of sauce, but very tasty. Bit of red cabbage in it. I always like places to do that. The negative was the slow, very slow. We're probably 15 minutes waiting for it, even though we're the only lads in the place. But overall, I'd probably be happy to give it a 3.5 out of 5, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree. I went for a chicken shawarma. A friend of mine from abroad was over, and he came to the game with us, and he was actually in Germany before he came to Ireland, and he was in a few of Podolsky's kebab shops.
Yeah, so this man knows what he's talking about.
I'll say I've had more kebabs in my time than he's had hot dinners, so that's a give him some credit. But he had a lot of recent experience, and he was happy enough with the shawarma, and it was quite tasty, so I'd Yeah, quite happy with that. And one point, for a kebab shop like that, the chips were very, very, very nice.
They were actually, yeah.
Definite thumbs up. I'd actually go 4 out of 5. I think I really enjoyed mine.
Okay, yeah, I'm probably happy enough to go 4 out of 5 as well. Yeah, no, thumbs up for, give us the name again, guys, for anyone that's heading out that loan.
King Kebab, lad, it's not that hard, come on.
King Kebab, yeah, there you go. So, right, that was the first BTS kebab review of the season.
I will say it's disappointing that, was it, episode 7 or 8, whatever it is, and this is our first kebab review.
That's the postponements for you, lad. But this next appeal is crucial. We've really struggled to find a good kebab shop in Cove. I think the last time we were down there, we said, we're not trying Cove again. We're going to go away from Cove on the way home. So if there's a Cove fan listening to this, this is your last chance to show us that there's more to Cove than just the Titanic. We need to find a good kebab down there. So please get the recommendations in. And also, same appeal for the people of Kerry as well.
Are you driving down to Kerry, by the way?
Well, I haven't booked a flight yet, so I think I might do, yeah. I'm not that arse staying down this time. I haven't decided yet. We'll get to that, but
okay. Just on the Cove thing, we've done this a couple of times. Drive a half an hour up the road, and there's this place, I can't remember where it is. And we've parked there a couple of times and ate a kebab, and it's not bad.
Right.
You don't remember?
I can't remember that. No.
I don't know what you did this morning. You get. Yeah, but like, yes, please, even if it's a half an hour up the road from Cove, well, actually, that's a requirement. Far away from Cove, because then boys haven't a clue what they're at when it comes to kebabs down in that part of Ireland. So, yeah, please get your thinking caps on. We need some health food when we're down there.
Right, let's get stuck into the BTS hotline this week. And he's nearly always first man in. He must have notifications on just so he can get questions in for the hotline. But Git, our Pat's buddy, he says, after the weekend, did you contemplate not coming home out of the Carlisle? Yeah, it's been a tough few days. And it was only last week Git asked us, you know, what age do you stop bringing home the results? And we said, oh, we're better at it. Me and you were foaming at the mouth Friday down in that loan, so... Yeah, maybe we're not as mature as we thought we were. Elon Musty, should the FAI look at having friendlies in different stadiums? So he's talking about the national team here, obviously. Thomond Park, for example, hosted 2 games a few years ago, could even play one at Turner's Cross against some countries. What would be your thoughts on taking the national team out of the capital?
Why not? Don't we have
the facilities for it, do we?
No, we definitely don't. But like I say, with friendlies and stuff like that, like you can go... Hold on a minute. We've played Latvia and Liechtenstein and all these places, you know, and Lithuania in recent times.
We're still, yeah, but the fact is now you've in or around 20,000 season ticket holders now.
Yeah, that's actually a problem. But it was always a problem. And when they played that game down in Cork that time, although that was a last minute thing. There was no real planning around that.
I think ideally it would be fantastic. I think it's even great when the 21s go around the country. I know Longford have had a couple of games, Sligo, they've been all around at Waterford, Cork. I think that's great. Very good for them. Matches are always packed out with kids, and I think it's fantastic. It'd be great if you could do it with the senior national team as well. I know when England were redeveloping Wembley, they brought them all around Manchester and everywhere, and the atmosphere at the games was 10 times better than you'd get at Wembley. Because these were people that wouldn't get a chance ordinarily to travel up to London midweek to go and watch a national team match. It'd be fantastic if we could do the same with Ireland, but we just do not have the facilities. I'm not in favour at all of giving money to other organisations to rent, you know, for a day. So, no. But, yeah, ideally it'd be great, but it's not possible. Sportacus, what will be the points difference between 5th and 10th in the First Division this season? That's a very good question.
Well, it really depends on how Kerry do, or we'll say maybe Bray, who we expect to be down there. Maybe the town, if they don't get their act together.
Take Kerry out of a 5th and 9th. There's not going to be a whole pile in it, is there?
10 points.
I think it could be even smaller than that. We've got a Shells fan asking, how much was I paid to wear the pink blazer? I thought...
No, he wasn't paid at all. He was told to wear it.
Our listeners will not be surprised at all to hear I got a half price. So,
yeah, man is shite.
our gaffer, Stephen Henderson, you know, he's quite bold in his fashion choice on the sideline. So I thought I'd take a leaf out of his book and go for something a bit more out there. I thought I looked quite smart. So that's all that matters.
that's all that matters.
But yeah, that's the hotline for this week. As we said, this was a little bit later than usual, the podcast this week, given it's been a very busy week footballing wise. So hopefully we'll be back at the normal time next week, and we'll try and get a guest on next week's show as well, because I appreciate anyone that stayed for the hour plus listening to myself and Gaz rabbit on. But yeah, Gaz, I'll leave it to you to close out the show.
Yeah, look, good. From a Longford perspective, hopefully they can get their first win of the season either on Friday and Monday, get the doubler going. But yeah, look, it's going to be a good bank holiday weekend. Is there any more? What games are on? Yeah, there's 10 games on Monday.
Derby. Yeah, Loud Derby's on at 1. So if you're heading the game, you can watch that on LOI TV and then head out to your team's game later in the day. I think there's a few staggered kickoff times. That Longford Cove is 3 o'clock, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, there's Dundalk Drogheda is at 1, Shells Derry at 5, Pats Rovers at 5, Waterford Rovers at 5, and Galway Bows at 7:45. That's a bit of a pain in the ass. Is there any good games on?
Go on, spin us through the first division predictions there, or the games as well.
Yeah, Wexford playing Cork at 3. Wait. Oh, hold on. I went on to flash score there. Hold on. Get this hip of dirt of a phone going here. Hold on. Yeah, Cove and Longford are 3. Wexford and Cork are 3. And Athlone Treaty, Harps and Bray and UCD and Kerry all on at 5.
Lovely.
So,
yep. Cracking weekend coming up.
Cracking weekend coming up. Get out to a few games. Hopefully the weather is good and all of that. And actually, just on that, because we won't, we'll be at it. Cove will be,
leading
their Astro pitch, which I have absolutely no interest. Well, as an Astro pitch, but look, fair play to them. They got it done. I think there was some idea that it would have taken a lot longer. Yeah. And look, it's great to get rid of that meadow that was there before. So. I think cattle were turning their nose up at some point last season. So hopefully it's a bit more reliable than what we've seen down through the years there. I think that game, some bank holiday last year, we were down at it and I walked out onto the pitch before it and Jesus, like, it was terrible. Like, it was up to my knees, like, the length of the grass. So hopefully it'll remove that work requirement and fair play to them for getting it done.
Yep, lovely. We will see everyone down there on the bank holiday Monday. But for this week, thanks for tuning in. That was Series A, Episode 7 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast with me, Kieran Burke, and him, Gary Riley. And it was brought to you, as ever, by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. Have a fantastic Easter weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.